السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض، وإن تبدوا ما في أنفسكم أو تخفوه يحاسبكم به الله، فيغفر لمن يشاء ويعذب من يشاء، والله على كل شيء قدير. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers and also our sisters who listen over the receivers, although there are many different views with regards to when Mi'raj took place, and they are authentic views because there was no clear-cut mention of any particular date in any hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu was salam, so there are different reports of when did Mi'raj take place. So we have no right to really pinpoint and say exactly it was the 27th and then have a day of celebration or a night of celebration. Our aqeedah must be correct that the Mi'raj did take place, and whether it took place in Rajab or one of the other dates that have been mentioned in the hadiths or in the books of history, but it was indeed an incident which was miraculous. The supreme miracle of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is of course the Holy Quran Sharif. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, all through his life, he received the Quran Sharif and revelations via Hazrat Jibreel Alayhi Salatu Wasalam. But this time Allah Tabaraka Wa Ta'ala, he invited him, and as mentioned in the Holy Quran Sharif, فَأَوْحَى إِلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ مَا أَوْحَى. I am not discussing Mi'raj in this bayan now, inshallah. Tonight we'll discuss something about Mi'raj. But one of the gifts of Mi'raj to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because there are many authentic reports of it being on the 27th also, so we don't call it a day of celebration or a night of festivity or celebration, but certain things are discussed so that we may remember what happened in that particular night. So one of the things that was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the last verses of Surah Baqarah. Besides the many gifts that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the night of Mi'raj, it was a unique experience for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, because he was brought right into the presence of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And according to the authentic, reliable traditions, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was given the vision of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in his glory. Whether our eyes can see or cannot see, but Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's eyes, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave them that power and that strength to see Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in the night of Mi'raj. In this world, we cannot see Allah ta'ala with our eyes. But in Jannat, if the believers will be given the opportunity to see Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with their naked eyes. And when some sahaba asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that how will that be possible when there will be so many people in Jannat, just to give you the meaning of that hadith sharif, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that is there any problem when there is the full moon, millions of people wherever they are, they just raise their eyes and they see the full moon. Nobody really has to fight for space to see the full moon. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will reveal himself in that manner, and Allah ta'ala will give the people that kind of power in their sight that they will be able to see him. That Allah for whom they worshipped all their lives, that Allah for whom they restrain themselves from all the haram all their lives, and that Allah for whom they did all the ta'at and ibadat all their lives. Now Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will say, now you see me with your own eyes, and there will be nothing more beautiful and nothing more greater in Jannat than our seeing of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with our own naked eyes. May Allah ta'ala make us all of the inmates of Jannat. So this world is a preparation for that. This world is a preparation for that. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam many, many gifts in the night of Mi'raj. One of the gifts which every little child who does Islamic history knows is the gift of Salat, the 5-time Salat. But another gift that was given to him was these verses of Surah Baqarah. Now these verses of Surah Baqarah, from Aman al-Rasul till the end, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said that Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam laid great emphasis on these two verses. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that these two verses Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave me out of his grace and mercy from beneath the arsh. It is from the treasures, from the special treasures. And therefore Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu and Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, they say that only that person who is not a sensible person will go to bed without the recitation of these verses. And we have been told that we must teach our women and our children also these verses. But we ourselves don't have the time to recite these last verses, which are so simple, so easy, and so beneficial and so rewarding. If a person cannot get up for tahajjud salat, if he reads Aman al-Rasul till the end, then it is reported that this person will inshallah get the sawab of tahajjud. Of course, that doesn't mean that we must become so lazy that we don't make it at all. But how simple and easy and how rewarding these verses are. So we should recite these verses. But because our sleep only comes watching the television and listening to the music over the radio or some other programs, and then when we get tired, we fall asleep. So we don't have the time to even read these verses. So these verses, they follow a verse in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had ordered, or Allah ta'ala had mentioned, that lillahi ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard. Just to give you some meaning of it, we cannot go into proper tafsir or details. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, it belongs to him whatever is in the heavens and the earth. Whatever is there, it belongs to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Whatever we have in our control, it has been given to us for a temporary period of time. And it truly and really belongs to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Because a person, either he owns something. We say that this person owns this property. He owns this car. Or that person is a manufacturer of that equipment or that furniture or that car or whatever it may be. So we say that this person has got a direct contact with this. He is the manufacturer, he is the maker. Or the person has been given some usage of it. Somebody loans him, somebody lends him, and somebody says use it for a period of time. So to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala really and truly belongs everything. Whatever we have also, we cannot really claim that it is ours. But for the purpose of this world, if we said that everything belongs to Allah ta'ala, so therefore what is yours is mine and what is mine is yours, then there would have been chaos. We would have been having everybody just walking into anybody's home and saying that this is mine because it belongs to Allah ta'ala. As that one person climbed onto the tree and he was eating mangoes, and the tree was in the yard of somebody. So the person came out and he said that, what right do you have to climb this tree and eat the mangoes from my tree? He said, well, the tree belongs to Allah, the ground belongs to Allah, the mangoes belong to Allah, I belong to Allah, you belong to Allah, so therefore the mangoes belong to me too. So what's the if I eat it? So he too also was a wise person. So what he did is he took out a whip and he started beating this young person that was eating the mangoes. So he said, why are you hitting me? And he started screaming and crying. So he said, don't worry, you belong to Allah ta'ala, I belong to Allah, this whip belongs to Allah, everything belongs to Allah, so therefore why are you screaming now? So for the purpose of this world, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given us some sort of possession and control over these things. But in reality, it belongs to Allah ta'ala. So walillahi ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard wa in tubdu ma fi anfusikum aw tukhfuhu yuhasibukum bihillah. Whether you expose anything which is in your heart or you conceal it, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will call you to account for it. And then Allah ta'ala will forgive whom He wants and He will punish whom He wants. Because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has power over all things. Now when this verse was revealed to the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullah alayhim ajmain, it was very heavy, it was very difficult. They were concerned because they were not like us. They really and truly believed in the Akhirat. It was not just a knowledge of the Akhirat, they had true and sincere belief in the Akhirat. So therefore they said that these thoughts also which are coming in our mind, if we are going to be punished and we are going to be called to account, how are we going to then survive? We will then definitely end up in the fire of Jahannam. So Rasul-e-Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when this complaint was brought to him, Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam said that you do not become like those people of the Bani Israel, that they said, Sami'na wa asoina, that we have heard and then they disobeyed. But you must say, Sami'na wa ato'na, we have heard and we have obeyed, whether it is difficult or it is easy. But then to clarify, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala revealed these verses also, that it is not just the thought that comes into your mind. As I said, that these were verses that were revealed from Muhammad Rasul in the night of Mi'raj. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He gave some consolation to the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullah Alayhim Ajma'in, that you don't have to be so concerned about those thoughts which are just fleeting thoughts, or which they just cross your mind, as we have discussed many times, that if the thoughts just come, let them go past, because we cannot control that. So if it is involuntary thoughts, then we cannot really be held accountable because it is not in our control. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala also, He does not call to account for these type of thoughts. But here there are many things which are dealing with the heart, that those thoughts or those things which we term as beliefs, they are also related to the heart. That the person's belief in Allah ta'ala, the belief in the day of judgment, the belief in the prophets, in the messengers, the belief in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's books, the belief in the paradise, in the fire of Jahannam. Now all these things are linked to the heart. So if the person has got these beliefs which are in his heart, then we will say that they are thoughts, but then they reach the stage of belief, then that is something that he will be accountable for, that whether he believed in those things that Allah ta'ala had asked him to believe, or he believed in those things which were kufr and of shirk, because those are things that are dealing with the heart. The belief deals with the heart. So those beliefs and those thoughts are something else. But here we are talking about those thoughts which come into a person's mind, that he wants to commit some kind of sin. So if he does not go ahead with that sin, he is not going to be accountable. But on the other hand, if his niyat and his intention was very firm, that he truly and sincerely wanted to undertake some righteous action and deed, then he will be rewarded for that intention of his which was very firm. And if his intention was to commit some sin, then he will not be punished until he had the opportunity of committing it and he went ahead with it, or he brought it on his tongue. Then we will say that this person now will be punished for his sin. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, in this night of Mi'raj, He gave this beautiful verses to Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, which begins with Aamana ar-rasulu bima unzila ilayhi mir rabbihi wal mu'minun. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Aamana ar-rasul, the Rasul of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he believed in everything, bima unzila ilayhi mir rabbihi, everything that came down to him, everything that was revealed to him, the Rasul of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala believed in it. There was no doubt of any kind. And immediately after that, Allah ta'ala says, wal mu'minun. And here it is a reference to the Sahaba ikram Ridwanullah alayhim ajma'in, who were the companions of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that they too followed Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in whatever was revealed to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, just as he believed in it. These believers also believed in that, but mentioned separately, because the level of iman of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam is different from the level of iman of the Sahaba ikram radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. Therefore, wal mu'minun. But the fact is that both of them believed in everything that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala revealed to Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They had no shadow of doubt that it is the truth and nothing but the truth. And they were listening to it with their own ears from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So there was no intermediary also. And there was no question of any kind of doubt also. They were getting it directly from Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there was no question of any doubt. So when they were told that you must say sami'na wa ata'na, then they said that. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he did not say anything until the revelation of these verses then came and clarified. So amana ar-rasulu bima unzila ilayhi min rabbihi wal mu'minun kullun amana billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi. All of them, they believed in what? In Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, in his angels, in his books, and in his messengers. La nufarriqu bayna ahadin min rusuli. They were not like the Jews who accepted certain prophets and rejected certain prophets. They believed in Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, but when it came to Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, then they rejected belief in him. When Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa then came and announced his nubuwat, they rejected belief in him. So we are not like that. We say whoever was sent as a messenger by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we believe in all of them. That they were prophets of Allah ta'ala, they were messengers of Allah ta'ala. لا نفرق بين أحد من رسلي وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. And what do we say? سمعنا وأطعنا. We have heard and we have obeyed. That means there is no distance between our listening and our obeying. It was not a question that we will listen today, but as far as obedience is concerned, we will make some mashwara with our wife, with our children, with our families, and thereafter we will decide if we want to obey. There was no question of doubt, there was no hesitation. As you have heard many times, that when the order of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala came, with regards to alcohol, with regards to wine, with regards to sharab, the intoxicant, then what happened? It was not an easy thing. It is easy for us to read it in the books of history. But take a person who is addicted, day and night he is drinking, and he's got jars and containers and everything in his home, and he's got bottles filled. And now suddenly one person is announcing that Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that the verse of the Quran Sharif has come, that liquor is haram. Now what would have been our condition? If we had been addicts, we would have said, yes, but just hold on, we will first go and inquire, we will investigate, and then we will decide. Here there was no doubt, no hesitation. The moment the verse came down, the moment it was heard, there was immediately sami'na wa ata'na. That those people who had those jars containing alcohol, then they cracked them, they broke them. And those people who had it in the bottles, from there it did not come to the tumblers. And those who had it in the tumblers, from there it did not come to their mouths. And the best part of it is that you find in the traditions there, that those who had it in their mouth, and when they heard that sharab or alcohol has been made haram, immediately they spat it out. Now what kind of iman you must have for that kind of thing? So this is what is required in our lives. That at present there is too much of listening, but when it comes to obedience, when it comes to obeying and practicing, then there we are hesitant or we delay. Everything is delayed and we are waiting for some occasion when we will start practicing. Now take our namaz, take our roza, take our zakat and all the other aspects of deen. I mean, we all know, we have the knowledge. What is right, what is wrong, what is honesty, what is dishonesty. Iman, yaqeen, everybody knows. But when it comes to practice, then we say sami'na and wa aswayna. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must make us sami'na wa ata'na of those people. So ghufranak, the person is saying, oh Allah, forgive, we seek your forgiveness. For our return is to you. Whether we like it or not, we are going to return to you. Then immediately after that, without going into the tafsir of these ayat, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, la yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not burden any soul with more than what it can bear. This gives a very clear indication that anything that we say is difficult, it is because we have made it difficult. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not place any kind of burden on his creation which they cannot bear. Any kind of hukam Allah ta'ala will never give which is beyond the person's capacity. Yes, if we have made our homes into cinemas and theaters, and we cannot seem to get rid of those TVs and movies and all the evil and the haram which we have entered with our own hands into those homes, then we must not say it is becoming difficult to practice, because we have made it difficult. Our businesses, if we have taken loans from the banks on interest, without any need, without any real necessity, we were not up to the throat, we were not sinking or drowning, and now life has become difficult, then we must blame ourselves. We must not say Shariat made interest haram and made it difficult. Shariat in fact did a great ihsan on us, that it wanted to save us from destruction. It did not want our millions of rands to go away to the Jews and to those banks whom we curse every day of our lives. So any hukam of Allah Ta'ala, otherwise if you take the hukam of Salat, if you cannot stand and read because of sickness or illness, then sit and read. If you cannot sit and read, then lie down and read, but read. So we will say that the hukam is there that you must read, but look at how Allah Ta'ala then makes things easy. In the same way, if you look at fasting, there are so many concessions for people who are sick and for ailing people. If you look at Hajj, it only becomes farz if the person has got sufficient amount of money to go for Hajj. If you look at Zakat, it only becomes farz if the person has got a certain amount of, which we term as nisab, then only it becomes farz. So there is no hukam of Allah. Most of the ahkam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala are restrain yourself from this haram or that haram. Now what is difficult in that? We cannot say Islam is difficult because Allah ta'ala says you must not commit adultery. Now it is very difficult. Allah ta'ala said you mustn't steal, so it's very difficult. Allah ta'ala said that you mustn't speak lies, so it's very difficult. So there's nothing difficult in Islam. Allah ta'ala does not burden a soul more than what that soul can bear. Allah ta'ala has only made us mukallaf of those ahkam which are within our capacity, within our means. If Allah ta'ala has made taqwa farz, then it is because it is within our means to adopt taqwa. Nothing has been made farz upon us which we cannot manage. So la yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha, laha ma kasabat wa alayha maktasabat. Whatever the person he does, he is going to be rewarded for his good deeds and for his actions. And if the person is doing evil, then that evil is what he is going to be punished for. I'm just giving you an explanation that it is whatever we are doing, that is what is going to bring about a reaction. Either we will get our rewards because of our deeds and actions which are good and pleasing to Allah Ta'ala, or we will be punished because of those deeds which we are doing which are displeasing to our Allah Ta'ala. Because He is the master of everything. لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. So لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَعَلَيْهَا مَا اكْتَسَبَتْ. Then immediately, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِيْنَا أَوْ أَخْطَعْنَا. O Allah, لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا, do not seize us, do not call us to account, do not grip us, do not punish us for that which we forget or that mistake which we make. Either the person sometimes does a thing forgetfully, or sometimes he has made a mistake. That the person wanted to say something and he said something else. Or the person wanted to fire at an animal, he was gone hunting and he wanted to shoot a buck, and instead of that he shot some human being. So that we will say there are certain things that we does by mistake, and certain things the person has forgotten. It just slipped his mind. So now he's asking Allah that he must not seize, must not call him to account, whether it is for something that he forgot to do, or whether it was something where he made a mistake and he erred. Of course, there's explanation to it, that in this world there are many things which if a person even does in mistake, he will be punished. But Allah Ta'ala will not seize him or call him to account for that because it was a mistake. But in this world, there are many mistakes also for which he will have to pay. But that's another subject, and the time also expires so quickly on a Jummah day. So I will conclude here. Inshallah, we will continue. So this was something that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam received from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, or these verses from Allah ta'ala on the night of Mi'raj, and regarding the virtues of this particular night. But as I mentioned at the very beginning, that we should not pinpoint and say exactly that it is the 27th night, or make it a night of celebration or festivities or anything of that nature, because there are different reports with regards to when did Mi'raj take place. But the fact that it took place, and the majority of the scholars of the opinion, it took place in the month of Rajab and on the 27th. So we will be discussing that, but keep our aqidah clear, straight and above board, that we are not attributing to Rasool Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam something that he did not mention or say. There was no way that he said that you must get together on the 27th night and have a celebration. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us true understanding of Islam and Sharia and give us the tawfiq to practice and make amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.